listen to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
All right.
Oh my God. How are
Three
you, my friend?
Slow, low, deep breaths.
Yes,
before we
exactly.
Begin.
Thank you. Belly breathing.
Love your space. I love my spot.
Yeah, exactly. Friend of the podcast who shall remain unnamed because I recently learned that I may have overshared about them on a recent episode.
Okay.
Is doing really well with like getting the gigs of the coaching and maybe having future work for us.
Nice.
As a getter of gigs, which is great.
Oh, I figured it out. Yeah.
Oh, I'm smart.
Oh, I mean, I'm there with you.
Oh, I know stuff. And I'm so impressed and proud of her. And of course, this is something I'm just bragging about her. So now I should say her name. But now I feel like I don't want to fuck it up, you know? Who knows what people's boundaries are on stuff? And then you have to have a talk about the boundaries. Then you have to know what they are. And then I don't want to be a person.
It's too much.
Do you?
Sometimes, no. What is that? Do you hear that whine?
It's the whine. Way to pronounce the H in whine.
Do you hear that whine?
I hear it. It's going to end in 5 seconds. It's my blinds closing, so the lighting is better. The whine.
That is, you're hearing Katie's mechanized apartment.
I bet they're not hearing it.
Oh, it's loud.
Oh, it's...
It's even coming through on Zoom, it's loud.
That's fair. Oh, you know why? Oh my God. This is for you and Desmond, who won't really care at all, but I'll tell you anyway. I did a tech thing on my goddamn own.
You figured out, you just pushed buttons until you figured something out?
Yes, I did. So, you know, so Zoom has updated itself. It's done things. It's evolved as a being.
Yep.
And it has some new stuff, which you've probably noticed. One of them is a new audio setting that you can select. I have a writing class for writers.
Uh-huh.
And I play a meditative audio track on our day where we write together. We actually get together on Zoom and write for an hour once a week. And I play this audio track that has this like really beautiful subliminal energy work in it that gets you out of your own way and stuff. Uh-huh. It's really great. But the audio quality has been ass because I'm me.
Yeah.
Well, Zoom has a new thing where you can click blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I clicked it and they can all fucking hear it now. I've been teaching this class for like 6 years.
Now, are they hearing it because you're pumping it directly from your computer into the Zoom or because it stopped blacking out the background speaker that you were playing it through?
It was always on the same computer. Pumping through, but Zoom changed the things it does that cut out other things.
Gotcha.
There's like a different setting that didn't exist before that
right.
makes it better quality sound to pump audio in. It's a link. So it's a URL.
Okay.
That has the audio track saved forever. So I never have to like download it as a file. I just go to that.
Got it.
Anyway, when you try to play that for people in a class on Zoom, I'm playing it from my laptop to my laptop. It's not going anywhere. It's they can hear it, but not well.
Right. I know exactly what the problem is. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, no, I've never been able to solve this problem. So I'm glad to hear that they fixed this thing that was a problem.
Okay. If you ever want me to, this is karma. This is, I get to walk
you
through
to
a tech
me.
Thing.
Yeah. I'll call you when I next need it.
Yeah. It's my karma because I've made you do this so many times and you've been so generous. And now I'm like, I shall help you in return.
I have a thing I'd like to help you with.
Holy crap.
I'll accept that help when I need it.
I...
What the fuck?
How the fuck are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Just living life. Went away for the weekend with Denise. We got a little cabin up in Guerneville.
Aww.
It was pretty magical just because the space... Like, it rained nonstop pretty much. So you're like, oh, we're our vacation time. No, it like contained us. The rain was like a container, like a beautiful. Like there was a hot tub and we were sitting in the rain in the hot tub. Like, oh my God.
Oh, I love it.
The spot had a hot tub and like the skylights was, it was constant rain noise, which was fine.
It's beautiful pretty. To sleep it's pretty, too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, we did go walk in the rain, walked in the redwoods in the rain. Like, yep, we're going to be wet. That's okay. We're in the damn redwoods. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, that's so cool. Do you ever have moments? I'm having so many of these since I'm back in California where I'm like, why would anyone ever not live here? And I know the answers. There's plenty. But man, is it a beautiful state.
There's a lot to speak for it. Oh, and then
yeah.
This was cool. When we left, you know, we had to check out of our spot that we had rented, and then we went out to the coast at Jenner, which is way up Sonoma
Jenner.
County. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had just set like Jenner Beach. Okay, we'll go there. Which literally was like where it led us to one of those high on a cliff pull-offs.
Yeah.
On the road. So you're like, okay. And I just pulled off onto the shoulder because there was a wide shoulder. And then there's like a narrow, jagged walk down to the beach. It was great. And it was raining. Not very hard. There was definitely like water flowing under our feet, but not enough to make it. We're like, if it starts raining heavy, we're running the hell back up here because this will turn into a sluice.
Whoa.
And
that's a great word.
But then it was just beautiful. Like all these pieces of wood and burl were on this just crazy, craggy, rocky beach with the waves were brown and crashing, like just because it had been raining. And then there was a damn bobcat.
What?
We saw a bobcat in the wild.
Stop it.
Because it's where the river meets the ocean.
Did it chase you?
So there's this little sort of brackish river bay thing.
Okay.
No, we were way away from it. But someone on the beach was like, there's a bobcat over there. So we went and we stayed pretty far away. But it's a cat. It's so weird. You're like, that's a cat. But it's
a big ass cat.
With no tail.
No tail.
Well, it's a bobcat. That's why they call it a bobcat.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Tail. I don't know if I made that connection until I made that connection. But it was just so cool to be like, and he was just cool with us. He looked over a couple times, but he was pretty far away. We had to like zoom in on our camera to really see him. But
he was like not afraid at all.
No, but he also wasn't aggressive. There was no like, I'm going to come towards you.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, that was just awesome. I did some like screaming at the surf, which is a good thing to do every once in a while.
Good for you.
You know, just go, wah!
What did you scream at it? Anything in particular?
No, just to kind of really, I had some tension. I had some squishies and.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did, it was our reconnect weekend. So we'd done some processing. There was
yes.
heavies and lights. I mean, it was all about truth and beauty. So like there was what's not to love about it, but there was still some, you know. Still working through some things and getting some.
No, it's hard.
Emotions are real, you know, things like that. So
100%.
We were just out there. So part of that was both of us just being like, ah, that's been an intense weekend. Wah! You know,
that's cool.
And just yeah. letting the body, sometimes your body just needs to scream.
You know,
and
can I admit something to you that I want to tell you?
Yes.
I want to, and then I have to ask you, and I'm afraid I'm going to forget, and I'm saying this out loud, both for our audience and for you.
Uh-huh.
I had this wonderful stage manager and she got injured and had to bail.
Uh-huh.
I need a stage manager.
Okay.
If you think on.
I will find you one.
God, it would help me.
I don't know if that's true, but I will do my damnedest.
Ponder it. I love you. I'm telling everyone. I'm not putting it all on your shoulders, but you know people.
I do.
And this woman was so, you know how I am with dates and times.
Yeah.
This woman, I was just like, you're a saint from heaven. Like, I just have no ego in the game of like, I can manage that. I can't. I'm a failure at that. I'm okay with it. I can't do that. I'm bad at that. It's math, dates and times. Can't do it. And I was just like, I love you. You're a saint. What else do you need? What else do you need? Because she's doing it. And she fucking got hurt.
Ah, damn it.
And I'm just like, whoa, God. Okay, that's that.
All right. And by the time this comes out, it'll be a little late for this to happen. So we got to get in front of it.
And you know what? If it's going to be late, it's going to be late. I've got to do something. I mean, I'm kind of fucked. So
if you know of a Bay Area
stage manager,
probably non-union stage manager.
Either way, because we're working with.
That's right. Because we're working with that thing. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
There is pay. It's not massive pay, but there is pay.
No, there's pay. It's a contract. It's like kind of like any other not high-end contract you'd get in the Bay Area.
Great. Cool.
So there's that.
I'm sure we can find somebody for you. Wait, I only have one more thing and then
yes.
I'm done with my story.
Nobody was going to talk about your story.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
It's just one more fun little silly detail. Second night, we were like, we were trying to find something to watch. And we were kind of, we both changed a lot recently. So a lot of the things that we used to be like, ooh, we'll watch that show, or ooh, we'll watch that show.
Yeah.
Although we did watch American Nightmare, which was really interesting. That's the doc about the girl who was supposedly kidnapped in the middle of the night and her boyfriend reports it. And then they're like, we don't think that happened. It's crazy. It's a bananas. So we did watch a little low vibration stuff, but that's fine. It felt fine.
If she's fine, great.
Denise checked it. She's like, yeah, I'm good. Anyway, we're trying to find. So we just settled on this sort of light comedy starring Kristen Bell, you know, your favorite partner.
Love.
Isn't she dead? Yeah. Anyway, Queen Pins. Have you seen Queen Pins?
No, should I?
It's a coupon scam. It's got like Vince Vaughn and Joel McHale. And anyway, we're watching it and they have this scene where they go to Mexico and they're trying to find some people to help them with this scam because the factory is in Mexico that they're trying to get the scam going with. That's all you need to know. Anyway, Denise goes, I think that woman is like in the first episode of The White Lotus and she plays a Hawaiian. And because she recognized her, I was like, oh, she looks really familiar. Wait a minute. So I looked her up and it wasn't the White Lotus girl, but you know who it was? It was Ilia Paulino.
Stop talking.
Our guest from like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Get out of here.
I was like, I knew I recognized her, but she hadn't quite popped for me yet until like Denise like made me pay closer attention.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
Because she thought she recognized her for a different thing. It was so awesome. And she was funny. Of course she was fucking funny.
Of course she was.
She's fucking hilarious.
She's fantastic.
Small role, very funny.
Fucking A, look at this shit happening right now.
It was from like 2018 or 2019, I think.
Listen,
the movie.
Shout out to Sophia Fredericks for making all kinds of shit happen for us.
Yeah, bringing us cool as fuck people.
Yes, what the fuck? Go Sophia.
So that was fun. That was cute. Just a fun little sprinkle of joy.
I love it so much.
Like, oh, that's Ilia. I don't know.
Speaking of which, have you heard of a guy named Dave Byrne? I think B-U-R-N. Hold on. I think that's his name. He has a rap.
Yeah, Lil Dicky.
Bird. Lil Dicky.
Oh, this shit like a joke to you. I don't get it.
Nah, it ain't like that. I just happen to be a nutty, abundantly funny type of individual. Like as a guy. So when I get up on the mic, I ain't finna just lie. Real, recognize real, right?
Yeah.
And then he has a show called Dave. Where it's like his penis or something.
Yeah. Do you know his real life story about his penis?
It just popped on my consciousness just very recently.
Okay. I'm going to tell you about it.
Okay.
But what I was going to say right now is he has a new album, sort of comedy rap album called Penith, P-E-N-I-T-H, Penith, like Zenith, but right. With a P. I love it so much. Oh, I think it's so funny. Yeah, he's an interesting dude. But wait, we have to go back to my other point about what you were saying.
Yes.
About you and Denise, which is sometimes I have a slight bit of envy that, God, envy's not quite the right word because envy like hurts my body when I have it. It's like, I don't know what word to use, but I feel a little like there's something very sweet about the level of intimacy Denise gets to have with you in terms of like, when you guys like go through stuff together and have to work through stuff and then you're closer because of it, like the Cassidy of that, I'm like, aw, she gets to see that Cassidy. Like that's like another Cassidy. And I have this feeling sometimes too that you and Rami have known each other since time began. You know, there was dinosaurs and then you and Rami.
Yeah.
And then now there's
that's
us.
Pretty good timeline. That's a description. That's an apt description of the timeline.
And there's a way that you guys have been through so much and tried for so much and worked so intimately together that I feel like you guys have like a depth of intimacy that I sometimes think my personality probably makes harder to have. Anyway, I'm jealous of it. I'm a little jealous of it.
Do you mean with your relationship with me or like that you crave that with your partners?
No, no, no. Eric and I have that. That's great.
Right.
But I mean, as your friend, there's a way that
a
lot of my friendships, like people in my life that I'm very close with, I would say like I'm just as intimate in a way with Kat Zidane as I am with Eric. I mean, it's totally different.
Sure.
But she knows me like down and through and all the like deep. And like we've had conflicts and had to work through them, but like not too many that it's.
But she doesn't look at your titties.
No titty looking. No titty looking.
Got it.
Yeah, so it's that friend. It's like you know how with friends you click into different levels of intimacy with them? And so it's just, jealousy is not even the right word because I don't feel mad or sad about it. I feel just like, kind of like, aw.
Sounds wistful. Yeah.
Yeah, they get to see this part of the Cassidy animal that I don't always have access to.
I very much, I appreciate your saying that. That touches my heart and I love that.
Yay.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And I think the fact is you've stared into the butthole of my soul many times.
You're right. You're right.
And I feel like, I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm just going to say like,
yeah.
I feel you are the container of much of my deepest, I wouldn't call them secrets, but like deepest truths. But I mean, weirdly, that has all happened in a public forum. And that's so strange.
It's different.
Because we still haven't even hung out since you've been back.
Isn't that stupid?
So stupid.
But see, that's what I mean is like, there's a difference between, and you're not that I'm your healer, but we have this specific kind of dynamic where in a similar way to like all my clients who I know their deepest shit, whatever, but I don't get to feel that deep feeling of,
right,
we are tight.
It's not communion.
Yeah. Because it's not back and forth. It's one-sided.
Yeah.
And you and I are not, we're not one-sided here, but a little bit.
Yeah, there is an imbalance probably.
A little bit. Not, it doesn't feel bad to me, the imbalance, but it's like, it's just different than when you togetherness it.
Yeah.
In a you know what I mean? Like Fontana and I have gotten, you know, we've done some crying and we've been messy together and she's had my, and I fucked it up and she's forgiven me and we've done, you know what I mean? Like,
you've been through that. We have a certain level of like, weirdly, like many different versions of a very close professional relationship.
Yeah.
Many versions of that. We have
many versions.
Our performer version of it. We have some healer client relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like feet first stuff and coaching together.
Yeah.
Like we've done so many things together, but it's like, when are we hanging out just being like, dudes, am I right?
Right. we don't have phone calls except for here.
Right. It's just interesting. Yeah.
I want to call out something that did come up this weekend. Because we did some like digging into the past, our own past, you know, a little bit of like sort of conversational parts work almost. And, you know, we talked about the thing that we talked about weeks ago when you started to do a little light parts work for me. And,
oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
Some early embarrassment. Anyway, I remembered how you were the only person to really push back with me and say, I am not going to co-sign your self-abuse. In a particular relationship that I was in, and it was the first time I did any actual direct healing with you. It was around this person. This was,
oh, you mean,
yeah,
back
like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
The girl who was like pretty traumatized.
The the push pull relationship. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Who had the whole thing with her ex and blah, blah, blah.
That was a lot.
And I kept saying like, no, but I want you to comfort me in this, and you just said I won't. But it was the friend saying, stop being mean to my best friend. You know,
yeah.
you say that to your friend saying, hey, stop abusing Cassidy. He is worth more than that.
Yeah.
You're telling Cassidy that, you know, that's what you say to your friend sometimes. And that was what you did. And I wanted to appreciate that. And I love you for that. That was really like, cause looking back on that one, it's like, what the hell was I doing? Except it was karmic. That's a perfect example of a karmic relationship.
That makes sense.
It needed to happen.
What the hell you were doing was it had to happen.
Yeah.
But then also you get to learn from it and grow past it.
And the pain of it is, I needed it to be shown to me. I needed it to be like, ah, it's right here. You're really letting something happen.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Now, how the hell are you?
Oh, Christ on the cross. Hold on.
That's how you feel right now?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Wait, but before we go there, I just want to say for the listener, because it's such a good healing thing. If 9 times out of 10, when people are in a really, really karmic, toxic relationship where, or maybe toxic feels too harsh, but like the kind of relationship where your friend has to say to you, hey, stop it. No. What are you doing?
Put that down. Spit that out.
Sit. Roll over. Yeah. Because your friend is hurting themselves or like really not seeing their own value or whatever. When one of those happens, and they're real hard and it's real hard in the moment, What I've seen with those is that regularly they are the macrocosm of the microcosm of every relationship before it. In other words, when you finally get the lesson from a really painful one, if you look back at all the relationships before that one, you'll probably see that same thing was going on in a lot of other places too.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the universe operates gently, 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 and then pa-pow hits you with a brick. Like, that's what it seems to do. It's like, here's a little hint. Maybe don't do that. Hey, honey, maybe not. And if we don't listen to the gentle teachings, it goes, okay, fine. Here comes an anvil. Ready? Pow! And then you're like, ow! And then you get it.
Yeah.
So it's like, if anybody listening is going through one of those right now, it's not like suddenly out of nowhere there was this special karmic thing. It's more like this karmic thing is showing up because it's been there in a lot of different, it's been there inside of you. And it's been showing up in smaller ways before this moment. This is just the moment where it's big enough, loud enough, painful enough that we can hear it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just say that for people in case they're at any stage of that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could see this, switching topics.
Ow.
You see all?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's poison oak.
Oh, God.
This is day 15, I think.
Holy cannoli. It just looks red and swollen now rather than itchy and blistery.
It was like a burn that was raised and bubbling for days and days and days all over my belly, on my left nipple. Down the leg, on the inside of my inner right thigh, close to the vag.
Chaunch adjacent.
Close to the vag!
Vajacent.
Vajacent! Oh my God, did you say chaunch adjacent? That's
I
so
did,
good.
I did, but then vajacent was better. So.
Vajacent is pivoted. Better. Anyway, so I have, that's a thing happening with me. It's okay, it's like wrapping itself up.
Did you have
up.
Sex in the woods?
I didn't.
Oh. I just not peed, even but, a good story.
No, I peed. I peed in the woods.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
You squatted?
Yeah. We did a Tilden hike, and then the following weekend we did camp.
Oh, yeah, Tilden is so full of poison.
Camp. It's out in Marin, something camp. China Camp. God, it's fucking gorgeous out there. But yeah, Tilden, man. And I just squatted and peed and didn't even... 2 days later, this showed up.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so that happened. I did a staging job, house staging job this past weekend.
How did it go?
It was my second one. I've now done two. And how it went is great in the sense that it looks gorgeous in there. I'm very proud of what I did. And the realtor who I was working with on the second job came in and was like, everything's great except this dining room table. Can you get me a different dining room table?
Fuck.
And you ever have somebody ask you a question? She was basically saying like, I can't stand this dining room table. I need you to bring me another one. But instead of saying that, she said, I don't know about this table. How do you feel about that?
Right.
And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, it's just not as nice as everything else you have here. I feel I happen to disagree, but like it's her house. So I don't, it's her, she gets, the, it's fine, you know?
Right.
So I go, and she goes, it's just not as nice as the rest of it. How do you feel about that? And I go, how do I feel? I feel... what do you need?
Right.
She was like, because I couldn't tell if she was saying, you're going to need to get me a different dining room table or talk me into how this is good.
Right.
So I was like, can you help me understand? What do you need? Do you want me to help you understand how I think it works or do you need a new table? And she was like, this isn't a nice enough table. And then I was like, got you. Okay, cool. I happen to disagree. But it's her, what are you going to do?
Right.
So I was like, I got you. We will get you a new table. Please, what? Tell me specifics about what you need that this isn't. We had a good talk. So now the only bummer about the job is it's far away and I now have to like, we finished and we got the U-Haul there and we unpacked and it's hours and hours of work and you're hustling and Dylan helped me and was amazing. And I felt really satisfied, really proud of the whole thing. And I was like supposed to get that feeling of like, and we're done.
But you still have to find and move a table.
By Wednesday, which is very soon.
Murph.
And I have like shit for the theater company that's due Wednesday and I don't have time to find her a fucking table.
I'm a little available over the next couple of days. Maybe, I might be at a gig, but if you need help moving it, you know, and we can work out the timing.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe we do it at midnight or something.
Sure. Why not? And then we can bond.
Yeah. And then we can bond over that. But we got to keep it professional, though.
What?
I'll be helping you with your professional work.
Good point.
That's the only way we can hang out.
We'll do no emotional connecting of any kind.
I'm sorry that happened.
All business. Thank you. Other than that, super proud of it. Looks really good. Happy with myself. Also, the first one I did, stunning. I'm obsessed. It was great. I loved it. Now, here's the rub. And then we'll... Or, let's see. Hoping...
Are they here?
No, but I did ask them to come at 1:40.
Oh, great.
And part of me's thinking, because it was so last minute, I'm wondering if they think it's next week?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay. I did a 3-card spread today for everybody. I do them Mondays and Fridays, but right now I'm doing 30 days of 3-card spreads.
Yeah.
I'm on day 11. And the spread was, I always ask, is this spread for the people watching, for me, or for both of us? Because I don't want to just do a spread for me and then like be like, here's a spread for me. So I only read the ones that are, you know, if it's for everybody and or for everybody and me. This one was for everybody and me. It was talking about, yeah, this is hard to talk about a little bit, but I'm excited about it. It was talking about in the recent past, you've had to be like self-reliant, a visionary. Maybe people didn't quite understand what you were doing. You have to trust yourself. Present moment was talking about balancing act. Remove from your plate what's throwing you off kilter because there's probably one too many things on the plate. And then the outcome card was coming apart.
Oh, God.
And it was like, don't grab onto things that don't fit or that are leaving you. Like if it's leaving, just let it leave because...
Oh, God. Yeah.
Good fortune is coming in the ending of it. And I just immediately knew exactly what it was.
The staging business?
I think so.
Oh, God.
I think so.
You've put so much into it.
I know. Well, okay. So this is why it's hard to talk about. I have an understanding of this that feels actually kind of great. But I could really imagine that for people listening, it could sound, I don't know, a lot of other ways. So I'll just, whatever, I'll share my truth. Sometimes I have, it's in my chart, and I'm always like, I don't know when I'm in the middle of a thing that this is being enacted, that this thing from my chart is happening. And then as it's happening, I go, oh, that's that thing in my chart, isn't it? I have a channel that's about, you have to do certain things to know.
Yeah.
Like you got to do it to know. And there's a sense they talk about with this channel. There's a sense of like, I don't know what the inevitability, like I will be doing this. Like you will, I will do this. This is occurring. Like there's no not doing it. That is, I think what the staging business was, is like.
And I just want to point out, you just used the term word was.
I heard it. I had to do it to, there's so many things I learned from doing it about the other things I'm doing. And I literally could not have known if I didn't do it.
Yeah. Like you built yourself a full practice office in Mancus.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to have a healing practice with an office.
Yeah.
And a location and a center.
Yeah.
For retreats and sessions.
Then I was like, I don't need to do that.
And as soon as you finished, you had to leave. Like, I think it's ready. And I think I'm moving to New York.
Well, it was ready and I was in there a bunch of months. And what I realized when I was in there a bunch of months is I never used it for healing. All I did was rent it to other people to use. And the only thing I liked about having it was having designed it. That was how I even started thinking about staging at all, was I right. Liked designing that space so much. So here's my point. There was an inevitability to this. Like I needed to be a house stager. I needed to do that. So I did it. And in doing it, I'll tell you the things I learned. One, I could only ever, if I'm going to do that, it has to be healing clients and that, and that's it. Or it has to be healing clients and the theater company, and that's it. But healing clients, theater company, staging business, too much.
Yeah.
Now, the idea was like, maybe there won't be so many healing clients and I'll do this and that. But I've realized that I missed, how do I say, there's the amount of physical labor required for the payoff of, this house looks pretty, and now I'm leaving, is not the same kind of payoff as I just taught a healing class, 8 people cried and their lives were changed, and the next week they told me how much better everything was.
Yeah.
It's like I got grateful for what I have.
Yeah.
Through being like, I don't want to do that. I want to do other stuff.
Right.
And then like I did other stuff, and that's how I was like, oh, wait, I'm really grateful for that first thing.
Oh, I hear you on that.
You know?
Yeah.
But it still remains true for me that I can't only do that. There has to be a creative outlet. And so now that the theater company is like a thing, it's like happening, 3 things is too many things. So I'm not making any commitments that it's done forever, but I am saying definitely for the month of February, I can't do any fucking staging. I have too much to do with just what I already have going on. So we'll see if after that month, once the show is up, I change my mind at all. It's certainly a fun thing. It's just it's much more, you spend the whole week before the job figuring out if you have all the right stuff and then buying the right stuff, or like organizing the stuff you have to plan which stuff is going in the truck, hiring the truck, hiring the people to help you with the truck. You know, like there's a lot to put together before the day of. So, okay, you could do that if you didn't have two other careers happening. No problem. But then the day of is a lot of labor as well. A lot. And then I need a day and a half to recover. It was a lot of work. And I was wiped on Sunday when I really could have used that time to be doing some grant writing, but there was no Katie Rubin left to do grant writing because I was wiped. So it's that balancing card from today's three card spread, the balancing act. Like, what can you remove, or at least remove for now, that brings you back to peace and centeredness so that you can function well with what you have? Now, again, I'm not fully committing to never again. It's just for sure not right now. Anyway, but I guess I want to say all this for the listener, because so many people I know are so afraid to take that first move and to take the risk and to try a thing. And I'm such a living example of, you can try a thing, and maybe it's not going to last forever, but it's, maybe you had to do the thing to know what you want to do now.
But you had to fully do it. I mean, that's a good note as a theater artist to know, like, this is on the much more microscopic level, even like a particular take on a scene.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, you get in conflict sometimes with the director who's like, I think it needs to go this way. And what we do is we go, well, I'm playing that out in my head and it doesn't work.
Right. You don't want to try it in your
mind. Here's all the reasons why that doesn't work. And the director's never going to believe that, because the director needs you to go, oh, okay, I'll prove you right or wrong.
Right.
By doing it 100% that way.
Exactly.
With commitment and with full feet in. And it's the only way you're going to learn whether it works or not.
Yep.
Is to full feet do it.
That's the thing. And it's for both of us, right? It's for both the actor and the director.
Yeah.
We're both kind of, that's why I always say as a director, like, you're probably right. Can we try it this way once just so I can see that I'm wrong?
Yeah. One of my favorite directors, Ken Kelleher, he always says he also says things like, you just need to know, I don't believe in physics. I don't understand reality very well. I need you to show me whether that can be done, right?
Wait, I don't get the physics part.
So he'll like say like, I need, how can you guys like swing in from your ankles? And obviously we're not going to swing in from our ankles, but that's what he wants.
Okay.
And physics be damned.
I see.
He's like, I don't believe in physics. And of course, added to that is, but I do respect and trust and believe in the actor's ability to do something, but I need you to show me that you can or can't do that.
Interesting.
You know, instead of, because I will often, I went through a lot of times going like, that's not going to work. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
With him. I'll get in big fights with him because of my human design, I've already run the tests.
That's good.
100 times.
That's really good.
But even then, I get hung up on my own level of expertise. And
right.
Sometimes I need to be like, well, I don't think that can be done, but
I'll try it.
What if it could?
Right. And then we have our friend Rami, who we might argue it has the opposite gift/challenge of like, sure, whatever, and then breaks their hip.
I mean, yeah.
not really, but.
But yeah, like throws it in and then, yeah, is almost too willing.
Yeah, so game.
So like we have to find the, yeah.
Yeah, and there's gifts in all sides of it.
Gifts and all that.
All right, our person is here, but now
oh, sweet.
I'm feeling neurotic because their name popped up and it's not the name.
Oh, you know, people have different Zoom.
Ariel. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but it says Ray. Rel. Rel. Let's find out.
Rel, like Ariel.
Duh.
There it is.
There it is.
We'll find out. Is Rel Ariel? Here they come.
Rel. Ariel.
Is Rel Ariel?
Ari Rel.
We got you. Unmute. Turn on your camera. We're here with you.
What if it's Ari Rel?
Maybe we misread it entirely. Or maybe they are an intruder. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's Rami. So I'm currently doing a show in San Diego. It's The Age of Innocence, which is set during the Gilded Age, New York. It's a costume drama, and in it, I play a lady character, and not just a lady, but I play a mother, the mother of the main guy. And this is, I believe, the first time I've played a mother, which is not something that a lot of female-bodied actors my age can say, but I haven't. It's not my track. It's not my journey. And this is the most sort of heteronormative rehearsal space I've been in a long time. I'm out of my comfortable, free, queer bubble at the moment. And when going into this, when people said like, oh, you're going to play a lady, how are you okay with that? How do you feel about that? My answer was like, hell yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it because it seemed like it was going to be really fun. And that's not something I get to do very often. And it's fucking drag, you know, like all theater, really. And what I didn't remember or think about was that it's not just going to be the character. In playing this character, in stepping into this particular rehearsal room in this theater, I end up being sort of thrown into this very gender normative binary world where a lot of assumptions have already been put on me, not the character, but the human, you know, that the life around the play is affected by the play, you know? And so yesterday morning was my first costume fitting, and I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. You know, I get to put on all the Gilded Age era costumes, and they put a corset on me and layers of undergarments and then layers and layers of overgarments till I couldn't do anything for myself anymore, right? I couldn't even straighten my own arms. And that was not required of this lady. This lady wouldn't have straightened her own arms. She would have had, servants. Servants are men, but mostly servants, probably. And so it was fun to like walk around in that drag, but at the same time, it felt terrible. I was physically, literally, and metaphorically trapped in gender. And the little piece that hadn't connected for me was, yes, the character won't do things for herself. She won't lift a piece of furniture, for example, or get something off of a shelf or tie her own shoes, right? But it's not only that the character doesn't do it, it's that me, Rami, the human playing the character, also literally will not be able to do those things. And so feeling trapped in that way was like being forced into a binary, being forced into a femme role in a way that was deeper than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was just going to get to put on the femme role. I didn't realize that I wouldn't have a choice. Yeah, that I wouldn't have a choice. So it kind of broke me a little bit yesterday. And made me worry about everything around the play, all the assumptions that people would continue to make about me and make even more, and that I couldn't counter because I physically can't, you know. And even like, oh, I'm going to be in the women's dressing room. Like, oh, these dressing rooms are going to be divided by gender. I am going to be in the ladies' dressing room, which is not really my culture. They're going to be talking about things, you know, and I'm going to be inside. Oh, that's not really, those aren't my experiences or my ideas, but no one else is going to realize that when they see me from the outside. It would be silly for me to go into the, to be in the men's dressing room, because I should be where all the other corsets are. It's only logical. You know, so once again, it's sort of like forcing me into the, that gender box. So anyway, I ended up having a couple of conversations because I had been sort of broken open a little bit yesterday. And I had a couple of conversations that might be useful for me going forward. Like, I think a couple people who had been making some, you know, good-natured assumptions about me, gender assumptions about me, I think they heard me, and took in new information that they didn't know. And, maybe yesterday's feeling trapped will be like a positive catalyst for me feeling more seen as a result. Rami's Rules.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, it is. You look like your pictures. Good. It is Ariel or Rel or...
Rel or Ariel, yeah.
Ariel.
Okay.
Rel.
Yep. Rel or Ariel. Lovely to meet you. Thanks for being here.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, gosh. Our pleasure. We've just been gabbing like two washerwomen over the fence.
Is that what it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Fishwives?
Yeah.
Washerwomen. I'll take that. Sorry.
Rel.
Welcome to our reality.
So nice to have you. You know Sophia. Is that right?
I don't actually. Sorry, my little dog is barking. I know.
Oh, this is Ariel. Right. Rel is our projector.
No, reflector.
No, reflector.
Yes, reflector.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Well, okay. We have a whole different thing. Now I'm very excited.
Yes, we have a friend in common, and they said, hey, I have a friend who's a reflector. Right. We didn't know we were getting you on that quick. Sometimes we miss things with our booker and they just happen and we're like, oh, that's happening now.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Rel, but this is so exciting. Thank you for being here as a reflector. I'm gonna say a few things, then I'm gonna ask you things about you. And then if you'll indulge me, what I'm gonna do is pull up your human design chart on this end and share my screen with everybody and then tell you all kinds of shit about yourself that you might already know or not.
I'm open ears, open. Yeah.
I bet excited. You're a reflector. are you on your phone?
I am. I can put my laptop. I was going to do my laptop and then it was installing Zoom update.
You can totally do phone. I just wonder if you might be able to put it down. Is that possible?
Ah, so I'm not shaking around.
This is just me being neurotic. I just have a thing where I can't focus on what you're saying when the thing is doing this because I'm weird.
Nope, that makes total sense.
Amazing. And then don't worry about your dog because we can't hear it.
Okay, perfect. That's what I was hoping with the headphones.
Yeah, totally. So, okay, little bit about you. So you're a reflector. So exciting. I have so many thoughts and things to say, but you're friends with...
I do believe that, I just want to put this in there,
yeah,
that you don't know much about human design at all. This is a new concept to you.
Correct, yeah.
And the story being, I believe that you were hanging out and they were like, hey, let's talk about human design. And then they ran it and they got excited because you just met them at New Year's.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, great. Okay. Does Free use they, them pronouns?
No, I'm just being generic.
Oh, got it. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so Okay, that's good context. Do you know what this podcast is?
A little bit, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so we basically have creative people and spiritual people. What do those words even mean? Come on the podcast. And we're comedians who are also on spiritual paths. And so the podcast is about a sort of a comedic take on spirituality in a sense.
I love it.
So when we have a guest, which is not each time, sometimes do a thing where we go into the, I'm an energy healer and Akashic Records reader, in addition to being an improv comedian and a stand-up comic and a producer of theater.
Awesome.
Cassidy is an actor and an improv comedian and an amazing dude and a coach and all the things. So we interview you. We're going to ask you some questions about you. We're going to plug whatever you'd like us to plug. And then sometimes we go into the Akashic Records of the person who comes on. And other times we look at their human design chart.
Sure.
Human design is, I would say, the most detailed, specific, complex typing system for an individual. It's like astrology blown into 50 dimensions. So it's much more full and rich than an astrologers would be mad at me for saying that, but my experience has been it's so multidimensionally useful and practical. So I'm obsessed with it, and I use it in my healing business with everyone. So to that end, what I know about you so far is you yourself have been an MFT, LFT for a long time. Which one?
LMT. Yeah.
And then you've moved into, now you're more of a somatic body worker. Is that right?
Yes. Not somatic. I mean, I do somatics, but I've not had like a somatic training per se, but that's how my practice has shifted. I do more structural integrative work. That's where I'm really shifting into. So a lot of body mapping, body reading, and then somatics kind of just get lumped in with that. It just happens because when you're getting into those sorts of patterns, the emotional aspect, the somatic aspect comes up with that too. So
okay, then I think let's define some terms. So for me, the word somatic, when I say that, it just means includes the body. What does it mean to you?
Okay. To me, it's like there's a whole training with somatic release, where it's basically the emotions that are tied to your physical holdings.
Right, exactly. Somatic release would be all the emotions in the physical body that are connected to whatever psychological, emotional patterning you're processing.
Right, yeah.
Right. Okay, so you're saying that you're not somatic formally in the sense of like taking a formal somatic training, but that you work.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, what do you mean when you say body mapping? What does that mean to you?
So that is more into play with like anatomy trains, structural integrative work. So basically, you know, I will have, you know, anyone who is coming to see me for this work, I do other kinds of work as well, but that's definitely becoming my jam, is to do this kind of work where, you know, someone comes in and they know that they have some kind of, you know, restriction or pattern in their body that is, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes that relationship forms from me being like working with them in another way and being like, I'm noticing this thing happening. Now I want to take a look at things deeper. But basically, sorry, I'm like kind of rambly. Body mapping is taking a look at someone. They're standing in front of you down to like, you know, minimal clothing. As you know, if they're comfortable, I try to make them very comfortable in that. And I basically just take a look and see, you know, like, I might see that there's a bit of like a sling happening from shoulder to hip, and you're twisting one way, and then it's kind of like the way trees grow to find light, you know, like it's like different gnarls and twists happen to overcome whatever adversity you've had in your path, whether that's emotional or structural or, you know, those kinds of things. So it's really fascinating, you know, like once you're, you know, kind of versed in looking at a body and seeing what is there, you can like pick up on certain things and ask someone like, hey, like, I noticed you twist slightly to the right. And then like this happened after a training I took. I was with my friend and we were up in Maine, and this woman, she was twisted. We were all like nerded out from like a really amazing few days of training.
Sure.
And we were just like noticing things about people just out and about. We were getting beers, and we noticed this woman like that was slightly turned to the right. And when she talked to you, she was like slightly turned to the right. And we were like, you know, we're noticing that we just like, she was asking us like what we're in town for, what we're doing. We told her about our training and stuff. And turns out, you know, we noticed this pattern in her, and she was deaf in the left ear. So she had to slightly turn to the right. So it's just like things like this that you don't like necessarily think about until you start noticing things about people. And then all of a sudden it's like all the puzzle pieces just kind of come together. And then my jam is to figure out that puzzle, like where the inception of that pattern is.
Yeah, totally get it. I'm an energy healer, so I do the same. I feel like I'm about to blow your mind. And I'm so excited because I just looked at your chart while you're talking. I'm just going to start. I have to show you this.
I'm excited.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do this. This is, thank you for being here. This is so exciting. Okay, listen. First of all, okay, I need to take a breath. I'm so excited for you. Okay, I'm totally also projecting because if I were you, this would be very useful intel to me. I don't know if it will be useful to you, but for me, it would be.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so this is your chart right here. And I'm going to, you've never looked at, I'm going to make a point by showing you something else.
Okay.
Because this point is quite important. In the meantime, while I'm pulling this up, I'll just say you are probably the most in the right place in terms of the work you're doing person I've interacted with ever. when it comes to comparing what you're already doing with what your chart says.
Mm.
So you notice that, see this guy here? This is, I'm showing for the listener, I'm showing Rel, my human design. You see all those colors?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's look at you. Oh, no colors at all. You see it?
Yeah.
So these centers here, these are called centers, the big squares and triangles. Yours are all white.
Okay.
And then if you look back at me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these 9 are not white. They're colored in. I only have 1, 2, 3 white ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most people, 99% of humans, Ariel. Ariel?
Yes. Thank you.
Ariel. I'm not going to sing the song for the mermaid. I'm not going to sing the song for the mermaid.
It's the different name.
That's right.
As long as you sing it like Sebastian, I won't be mad.
Oh, wow. That's a layered request. I like it. 99% of people have a bunch of these centers colored in. You are a unicorn.
Whee!
In the sense that you have no definition in any center. You are completely open in all centers. If you look over here, these words on the right side of this page, they're like titles that describe sections of this image on the left. The top title is your type. There are 5 types of humans: generators, manifesting generators, manifestors, projectors, and you, reflectors. Reflectors are teeny tiny, teeny, teeny tiny, tiny, teeny tiny percent of the population. One of the main things about what's interesting about a reflector, there's so many things interesting about a reflector. One is, God, I have so much to tell you. How are we going to do this? I'm going to breathe. One is, human design tells us about what our aura is doing, whether we like it or not. In other words, your aura functions a certain way. Cassidy's aura functions a different way. My aura functions a different way. I happen to be a manifesting generator. He's a generator, pure generator, and you are a reflector. Our auras, everything in this image is speaking to what's going on in your body. And then how what's going on in your body affects what's coming off of you aurically, okay? We used to believe before human design that we were 7 chakraed beings. According to human design, we evolved into being 9 centered beings. Of course, this is just one system and one set of people who say one set of things. These are the 9 centers we've evolved into having. When a center is colored in, that means you have definition or fixation in that center. What that means is we would say, what is the Arielness of Ariel? It's everywhere you have definition in your chart. You have no definition. So what is the Arielness of Ariel? We're going to talk about it. And that's why this is so exciting to me, is because I'm like, somebody with this chart has run into some very specific challenges to do with identity, to do with belonging, to do with being on this planet, to do with healing and pain. Particularly since you're a 6-2 and you have the left angle cross of healing, healer. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So I'm coming back. I'm back.
I'm excited.
Everywhere you have an open center in the chart is where you are open, flexible, creative, and inconsistent and unreliable. So there's no consistency where there's an open center. So if we hop over here again and look at my ass, all these colored in centers, I got a lot of consistency. I have a consistent way of communicating. I have a consistent set of things I'm passionate about. I have a consistent set of energy. I know what to do with it. I got intuition. I got emotions, and they're very one way. But when I look at your chart, you could be any old fucking way, any old fucking minute.
Yeah, that tracks.
Okay. Now, so given that all the centers are open, one of the things that happens for reflectors is you have what's called a sampling aura, which is a very excellent aura to have when you're a healer of humans. Why? Because what your aura does is, I'm getting chills all over my body. It's because this is going to, okay. What your aura does is when you're in the presence of another human, this is not your mind, it's not your emotions, not your heart, it's your aura. It is sampling every aura in front of you. So you could say it's energetically reading what's in front of you on the being of the person.
Oh, that just gave me chills.
So body mapping is so beyond perfect because body mapping is like you stand in front of a person, you look. Now they train you, I'm sure, with like systems and tools and whatever. I want to empower you to understand that you as a being, separate from body mapping, the training system, are built literally, energetically to stand in front of people and energetically sample their aura. You know more about somebody's body and aura and energy just by standing in front of them and perceiving energetically with your being and your felt sense than anybody in any body mapping training on the planet.
That's really validating. Wow.
And even more than that, I'll give you this. You're going to know stuff, Ariel. How old are you?
32.
Okay. Just at the end of the old Saturn returns, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Coming right on out of that. I bet that was a fun time the last 4 years.
Girl.
Yeah. Okay. So fucking hell. Okay. And you're a 6'2". We're getting there. Okay. You will know things about people immediately and in ways that make no mental sense at all. And your task is to begin to practice asking questions through your aura, through your awareness of like, so what is this about this person? And you're going to get an awareness and it will not be logical. And those are the awarenesses that are true. But everyone in your life is going to tell you, yeah, but how do you know? Yeah, but what system is that from? What book can I read to know what you know? They can't know what you know. You just know because you have a sampling aura. So for you, trusting what you know, the kind of knowing that you don't know how you know it, that's the whole jam.
That just was, yeah, that was everything. That was like an entire life of not knowing if I could trust myself and my knowing.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. That's now, let's go more. More mind-blowing is about to occur. You're a 6'2", okay? I happen to be a 6'2 as well. We are not the most common animals, and here you are. The 6'2 is known as the hermit role model. What are you a role model of? You're going to be, ultimately, a role model of being yourself. So you are not here to fit into systems. You are here to be you. And in being you, people look up to you and go, wow, how is she being so her? And in looking up to you, they gain inspiration for themselves about the fact that they have permission to be who they are. The sixth line, there's six lines that make up one's profile, and they're called 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The profile down here, the number to the left of the slash speaks to your conscious personality line number. And the number to the right speaks to your unconscious body line number. Okay. So you have what we would say is a 6-line personality and a 2-line body. 6-line personality. They're off the grid. They're outside. They're watching the people from outside. They're role models of being their own unique self. They're into authenticity and truth. They're always looking for the next thing, the next state of consciousness, the next state of being. What's beyond this reality is what the 6-line is looking at. Now, Juxtaposed with that, you have a second line body, which is the hermit natural. You are naturally good at certain things, and you are not here to do anything you're not naturally good at. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have to take trainings and classes, but you'll be taking them to like increase what you're already naturally talented at. Okay. The other thing about a second line body is it's very, very, very sensitive, and it's correct for it to be sensitive. And one of the tasks you're here to learn as a second line body is how to say no to more of the calls you get from the people. So people are going to call you out. Come do this. Try this. You should do this. Come to this. And we say to second line body people, your practice is you're going to be ultimately very, once you get very honoring of your body, you're going no, 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 yes. But you'll be inclined to go, yes, 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 no. So the journey for a second line body is learning how to honor the sensitivity of your body and say no to a lot of stuff, because your body is, they call it bigoted in human design, but what they mean by that word is your body is quite discerning and quite picky about who it wants to be around and what it wants to be around, because your body is sensitive. And as a healer, you know this already, it has to be sensitive so you can do your job. Okay, so you are the hermit natural, doing what's natural to you, saying no more than you say yes, which is a practice. You're going to feel hermetic in the body, but you're going to feel transpersonal, aka relational, in the personality. Both things matter. And the story of one's life is learning the balance of how do I be the sixth line and the second line body? How do I do that? That's the journey of your life. Hermit, role model. Last thing I have to say about the profile that's very, very important is a sixth line person has a tripartite life, three parts of the life, very distinctly, more than any other line, three parts of your life. Age 0 to 28, trials, tribulations, struggles, and trauma. Age 28 to 50, it's a long time. 28 to 50, long time. You get pulled onto what we call the roof. You get pulled out of life in a certain way, up onto the roof of reality where you're going to watch the monkeys dance around until you're 50, doing your own healing work from 28 to 50 to heal and process everything that happened from 0 to 28. And when you're on the roof, what you're doing is you're becoming that role model of being yourself. At age 50, this thing called the Chiron returns happens and you get pulled off the roof back into reality to join the monkeys, and you're going to feel more human than you've ever felt at age 50. So what we want for a 6-2 is that you do a lot of healing and a lot of integration work between 28 and 50 so that you're ready and you don't get pulled into 3D reality before you're ready. Now, that leads to any questions?
No, just it all makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And yeah, there are certainly landmarks that I've had along the way that I'm like, yep, 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 yep. So
oh, that's cool. Okay. That brings me to your incarnation cross. So there's like two more things I have to tell you, and then the rest of it we can decide if you want to hear more. Incarnation cross is like, what is your day-to-day life filled with when you're functioning correctly as yourself? What does your day-to-day life look like? Ready? Yours is, you are here to be love and heal through love. The energy of your cross supports you to do this with others. Your energy is focused on love of the body and being in body. You may not always see much in return, but your power of healing through love will make a big difference in the world around you.
Ayo.
I mean...
Tell us again what you do for your work. Just say it again. Just.
I'm a massage therapist, body worker. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay. Okay. So check. Not everybody has, let me tell you, people who get human design reading, it's mostly, a lot of times people are discovering all the places in themselves where they have to decondition out of the not being who they are. This is like so encouraging to me to meet someone who it's just like, oh yeah, you're being you, aren't you? Look at you. Good job.
Yeah. I've been doing this for 11 years, 12 years, something like that. I think 12 years this January. Yeah.
Rock on. Okay. Now up here, we have to talk about strategy and authority because it's actually technically the most important thing in human design. And you have an incredibly unique strategy and authority and overarching not self theme. Okay. For each human being, we would say in human design, there's a Let me back up. For each type, remember there's five types. There's sort of a correct, useful set of tools for how to make decisions that are best for you. The tools are strategy and authority. So what we say is strategy is how you relate to external reality when trying to make a decision. And authority is, which part of yourself are you tuning into when you are making that decision? Okay. So for a generator, for example, generators have, their strategy is respond. So they're meant to respond to 3D reality. And then they go into their inner authority to know which thing to say yes to and from their response. Okay. All right. You have to understand how unique you are. Okay. I'm going to show you what I mean by showing you what you're not. So generators, they're responding to reality, right? Reality's happening and they go, I don't want that. I do want that. I don't like that. I do like that. Okay. Manifestors, they are informing their strategy. The word right here would be inform. So a manifestor thinks up an idea inside themselves and goes, hey world, here's what I'm doing. Okay. Manifesting generators also respond, and projectors are here to wait for the invitation. So projectors are meant to be busy doing what they do and then wait to be invited, basically. Okay.
Our friend is a projector.
So she has to wait for the invitation and then follow her inner authority, which is, do you know, Cass? What her? Okay. Maybe it's sacral. Maybe it's whatever it is. She's going to listen to certain parts of herself to choose. Your strategy is wait a lunar cycle, which means 30 days.
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
That's probably why I feel paralyzed in making decisions most times, because the world is not,
yeah,
not equipped for me to take my time to make decisions.
Except you are creating a life for yourself where it is. In other words, if you're a healer, right, you get to set your own fucking schedule. You get to say yes to the clients you want to say yes to and no to the ones you don't.
This is true.
So you've already started to create a reality where you get to set the terms. And if you have to wait 30 days to know if you want that client, that's that client's problem. In the meantime, you can see them a few times while still ascertaining whether you want to keep them or not, right? Now, you're waiting 30 days, right? Then it's supposed to be like, look inside yourself to listen to your authority. Yours is none. What does that fucking mean? No authority.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it means. From the human design lens. Okay. The none authority is a sounding board authority. So it's about talking to people you trust and hearing yourself while you talk to them.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you, let's say you're trying to decide, I'm just going to use the random example of, do I want this client or not? You might talk to three friends over 2 weeks' time about it. And each time you talk to them, you're going to notice that each person you talk to, you said, I don't like this person, but I don't like this person, but I don't like this person, but. And then by hearing yourself sounding boarded off of other people you trust, very important, by the way, who you soundboard with has to be people you trust. Why? Because you have a second line body and you're meant to be very discerning about who's allowed into the fold. After hearing yourself enough times, you're going to be like, oh, I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But people in this world will tell you things like this. Tell me if you've ever heard any of these words. Trust your gut about it. Just follow your heart. What does your intuition say? What's logical? None of that is actually going to help you in any kind of consistent way.
Yeah.
It'll help you sort of a little bit inconsistently.
Yeah.
What's going to help you is waiting a lunar cycle. So there's no pressure. You have to take the pressure off yourself and go, I need 30 days. Sorry, bitches. And in the meantime, talk it out with people you trust who are trustworthy sounding boards and hear yourself with your ears.
That's so big.
Tell me why.
I've been doing that a lot more. I've had like really big life shifts this past year, and I've had to make some really big decisions. And yeah, I did have like a like very small, like just a couple of people who are my trusted sounding boards, like, and they honored, like they knew in their own way that that's what I needed. I think they knew more than I knew that that's what I needed. Like they were just, I don't know. They in their own magic and their own light had, they knew that about me. And I've always felt like I've had to, yeah, it's like, I didn't know if it was just like me being a Libra or me being neurodivergent or me being traumatized or whatever the fuck that made me not be able to make a decision or like clearly know what was right for me.
Yeah, man.
But now it makes so much sense that and even the way I process things, just like on the daily, like it takes me a few days, like in hindsight, to like actually get to like the meat of what I'm feeling without like outside influence and like to actually like know what it is. So, yeah.
I would love to ask you if you're willing to share. It's totally okay if you aren't. You mentioned my neurodivergency. Can you tell us how that shows up for you? What form that takes for you? Because I'm just curious if there's any relevancy to human design in that.
Sure. Well, I'm not diagnosed or anything. Just done my own education, and you know, I have neurodivergent friends. I'm certainly on the spectrum and ADHD, so it's hard for me to like see things, or I don't know. It's like, yeah, I just have so many things that it's hard for me to like complete one thing and just like do one thing and then the next thing. And it's like, it's like a yard sale.
You have a lot of tabs open on your browser.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. And then, you know, with being on the spectrum,
you're talking about the autism spectrum.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I've not known if I was just like a highly sensitive person or, I have no means had a diagnosis for autism. So I probably shouldn't even say that I am. But, you know, there are things about me that are very much in line with that. And it's just like easy for like, well, I guess what I mean by bringing that up is like, it's very easy for me to feel overwhelmed and paralyzed by like having to decide, speak, like show up.
But do me a favor. Look over here one second. I'm going to help you with this. I psychically get none of that is, I don't think any of those labels are actually true for you.
Mm.
Now, that's my opinion. I'm just one lady. I read people psychically. I ping off their body. I get a no, I get a yes. My head goes left for yes, right for no.
Mm.
I don't think you're neurodivergent. I don't think you have ADHD. I think you're a reflector. Okay, so what does it mean? And Cassidy, you read my mind because I was about to ask the same exact question. So thank you. Now, but let me back up before I even explain what I mean by that, because if those labels help you, fucking use them.
Sure.
Lean in. Because here's what I've learned with my own, quote, neurodivergence, is I read 15 ADD books and internalized everything that was useful for me and threw out everything that wasn't. I tried the ADD meds, couldn't do it, threw them away. I mean, years of exploring this for myself. Then same with the spectrum. After doing, I'm a 6'2 who's 47. Am I 47? I'm about to be 47 years old. Okay. So I'm right there with you on the roof doing all my processing from all the trauma of 0 to 28. I'm just been alive a little longer and I know a couple things. And so what I want to tell you is any tools you glean from your education about being on the spectrum or being ADHD, take them, use them, eat them, soak them up, whatever you want. However, what I would offer you is you have, I can't, this is why I'm like overwhelmed by your presence here. I can't tell you how significant it is for a human being on earth to have no definition in any center. Look, come back with me over here. See me over here. Look at me. Oh, look how much, there's so much Katie fucking Rubin in here. All this shit in here. This is so much Kitty Rubin. I'm as exhausting to people as you are confusing to them. Okay? Because
that's one of my favorite things you've ever said, Katie.
Because there is so much me to deal with when you interact with me. You're feeling it through my aura, like I'm coming at you hard and it's like this and you're like pew pew trying to navigate, right? Meanwhile, people are look at you and they're like, is she in the room? Is she here? What time do you want to eat dinner? And you're like, wind. Because there is no fixed, consistent, reliable Arielness here, present here. Now, what you might say, well, that's bad news, Katie. Fuck off and die. To which I would say, think of it this way. We have to always be asking the question, what's right about this I'm not getting? Because we can all spiral down the judgment spiral cycle, believe me. As a lady who's too much, I've had to lean deeply into what's right about my too muchness that I'm not getting. And I'm starting to get it at 40 fucking seven, right? A long time of asking that question. When I look at this, knowing what I know about this particular system here, you have to remember, this is like being, you're like a mirror for everybody's everything. And you're a sampling field that can tell them what's going on and through love, help them deal with their shit. What could be more valuable than that? Now, the world is not set up. I get it. The best we have at this fucking point in human consciousness is to label you with different disorders you have and then give you a couple tools for how people usually deal with this disorder. Well, I look at you and I go, it's all perfect and correct. You're a fucking reflector. Of course you're inconsistent and you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed because you can take in information and you are taking information from every direction all the time on all levels of consciousness.
Ooh, I just got chills again. I very much was connected to that and I had a knowing about that. And I went through a rough relationship. I got divorced this past fall, and ability to know.
I just know.
It got kind of crushed, squashed upon, you know, like I was with a very shut down and abusive person, and yeah, I totally closed the vent on that. Like I let myself, like I did that because I thought that's what I had to do. I thought it was wrong.
Yeah.
So it's really, really validating and affirming to hear that.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
What else? Another thing I would say to someone with a chart like this is I think honestly, more than any chart I've ever seen, hundreds of charts all the time, charts. This more than any chart I've ever seen, you've got to be very choosy about who you hang out with, and you trust your body, not your thoughts. Your thoughts will be like, well, how do you know that? And that's weird. And don't be so judgy. And why are you so da-da-da? Thoughts, judgment. But your body is going to go, that lady's a little too intense. That guy's kind of mean. That girl is just right, but only for 3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
That is your truth. You have a sampling aura and no definition. There is nothing fixed or consistent or reliable about the you-ness of you. That is a gift, but you are the steward of the gift and you're going to have to take care of it because nobody else is really going to fucking get it. I shouldn't say nobody, most people. Anytime you need it to be gotten, come back here and we will get you. You know where else you would get a lot of support and validation, which I'm sure you're good at doing already, and you healing people and clients, you know what you're doing. But also, if you ever are inclined to study human design, you would have so many fucking friends.
Mm.
Because people in human design world are all about, human design is known as the science of individuation. It's about who are you, the individual, not how should we all be behaving in this one system that we're all studying and trying to follow the rules of. Human design says, no, there's no follow the rules of. There's just who are you and what's correct for you. So when you get a bunch of people together who are all studying that, people go like, oh, you're a reflector. Wow. What's that like? You know, because they get it.
Yeah.
That we're not here. This world teaches us, figure out the box you fit in and then go jump in that box and then behave how everybody in the fucking box behaves. There's no box for you. How do you put wind in a box?
It's exhausting.
Okay, last thing I have to tell you, so each type, each of the five types has what's called a not self theme, right? So when we're not functioning correctly as ourselves, individual selves, we're going to feel this feeling here. In your case, for every reflector, the overarching not self theme is disappointment. So how do you know you're functioning correctly as a reflector? You're going to experience a fair amount of surprise. So I'll teach you about this again by showing you what you're not. So if you look at a generator, their not self theme is frustration. How do they know when they're functioning correctly as themselves? They feel satisfaction. So surprise and disappointment are the polarity for a reflector. So when you're disappointed, somewhere along the line, you probably got pulled off of your strategy and authority, didn't listen, didn't follow strategy and authority, and now you're in a situation that's creating disappointment. That's okay. You get to course correct right away, come back to strategy and authority, and you'll course correct. Okay, part two of the last thing I have to tell you. But before I do that, any questions on that or anything else so far?
No. Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay. Each of the centers, remember there's 9 centers. All of yours are open, inconsistent, unreliable, creative, receptive. Okay. Each open center, so coming back over to Crazy Katie Rubin, we have 1, 2, 3 open centers. Everywhere I have an open center, the open centers have their own specific not-self theme and an attending freedom. We call them not-self and freedom. So when I catch myself being caught by, for example, the not-self of my open head, I say, oh, look at that. The not-self of my open head has me. I'm going to lean into the freedom of my open head. Now, I have to do that in 3 parts of me. I don't have to do that in here where there's all this color, because this is just me being me.
I should do it in mine.
Uh-oh.
Oh, crap.
What did you...
Uh-oh. You got 9 ways you can get caught by the not-self themes.
That's some bullshit.
That's some bullshit. It's some bullshit. It's some bullshit. But let's learn what they are and learn what the freedom is so you can start to practice leaning into the freedoms of all these damn open centers you got.
I feel like I need to get a pen and paper. Okay, I'm ready.
It's okay. We're recording.
This will be in 2 weeks. You'll get to hear this.
Awesome.
Actually, are we?
Yeah, because we're a week behind.
But I mean, are you recording your Zoom now, Cass? Because we could send her this early.
That's true. I could send you the Zoom recording.
I think we should.
Yeah. So you can get a
okay, great.
You can get a preview of it.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to go through these a little bit quickly just because of time.
Sure.
But I'm very excited for you to learn this. Remember, here's the gist. When you catch yourself in the not-self theme, by the way, listener, this is a good one for anybody listening because I'm about to tell you all the not-self themes of all the open centers. So whichever...
Oh, we're going to get a quick rundown.
Yeah. So whichever open centers you have, pay attention to the ones that you have and you can ignore the rest. When you catch yourself in the not-self theme of any open center, Ariel, you can say, oh, that's okay. That's a lie. I'm going to lean into the freedom. Here we go. Open head. I can't figure it out. I got to figure it out. So it's ruminating, spinning thoughts, thinking. The freedom is you're free to not think, which is a practice and a discipline and takes time. All right. Number 2, the ajna, second center in the head. Believing in certainty, I feel anxious until I'm certain. That is the not-self of the open ajna. The freedom of the open ajna, you're free to be uncertain. I was just going to say, right there for a reflector, everybody in your life, why don't you know? Why don't you know? Why don't you know? Because you don't know, because you're free to be uncertain. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Okay. Open throat. If I don't say words, I probably don't exist. If I don't say words, I must be invisible.
Yup.
The freedom is you're free to be silent.
Oh my God. This is all already, I'm like, ugh. All of these are like, yep, ding, ding, ding. Like, I feel anxiety every time I'm in myself because everything is like, don't do that.
I know.
But yeah, okay.
Totally. That's why I'm so happy you're here. It's like the reflectors of the world, like, who the fuck is saying any of this shit to people? Or how would you know? Oh, I love it. Okay. You're free to be silent, you're free to be uncertain, and you're free to not think. Great. We come down to the G center. The not-self theme of the open G center is I'm lost with no direction and I have to find my passion. Okay? The freedom is you're free to be no one or anyone. So another way to say that that's more easy to track that we say for people with open G is anytime you're thinking, who am I? What are my passions? Anything to do with identity and passion is not relevant to you. And the more time and energy you spend thinking about who you are and what your passions are, the more tortured you'll be. You are free to be no one or anyone. Who do you feel like being today? Be her. Okay. Ego. Here's the ego, this teeny tiny triangle with no hanging gates off of it. Totally open ego is what you have. The not self of the open ego. When I feel is when I feel hurt, envy, or lack, I get busy trying to prove my worth and value. The freedom is I'm free to give up. And what are you giving up? The need to prove anything.
Interesting.
and you will feel a need to prove when you feel hurt, envy, or lack of any kind.
So what about when, so I guess my question here, I know I need to be sensitive. Sorry, I'm moving my phone, so I got to plug it in. When I feel hurt, envy, or lack, and I just like, I is there a difference between my being myself and being like my response in a trigger, like just like throwing my hands up and walking away and being like, fuck it? Or is that what I'm supposed to do?
Can you give me a specific example of the trigger we're talking about?
Like rejection, abandonment, stuff like that. Like if I feel like I have to prove self-worth or whatever, belonging, whatever.
Yeah.
I go from like that to like a moment of being like, okay, yeah, I need to do this, to being like, I don't need to do like, it's like,
yep.
I can't tell if I'm like,
that's it.
That's not walling. That's actually what I'm supposed to do.
Correct.
Whoa. Holy shit. Okay.
what you need to do, right, is evaluate on a case by case basis. If what your MO is, I'm giving up the need to prove anything here. If that's what you're doing, that is correct for you.
Yeah.
If what you're doing though, and you're going to have to be honest with yourself to ascertain, is going like, I don't want to deal with this, fuck off. If you notice, I don't want to deal with this, fuck off, that is another form of proving your worth and value.
Totally. No, I definitely go like, I don't need to prove. I know I'm great. I don't need to prove. And I just like, boop. I like, but then I didn't know if that was me being like,
no,
that's interesting.
That's you giving up the need to prove. And let me tell you something. When you're successful at giving up the need to prove, like it sounds like you are, it's going to trigger the shit out a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because they're so busy trying to prove their worth and value, they're going to be like threatened by the fact that you don't feel the need to do so yourself. So then they'll come at you harder. That's them being cray cray and acting out of their not self, of their open ego, potentially.
Wild.
Isn't it?
That's like so, so validating. Okay.
I'm really, really glad. Okay. Just a couple more here. And yeah, this one is interesting. You have open solar plexus because of something you said earlier. So the not self theme of the open solar plexus, this is the emotional center, has kind of three parts to it. You can feel empty, overwhelmed, and conflict averse.
Yeah.
The freedom of the open solar plexus is you're free to be emotionally neutral and tell the truth.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about being overwhelmed, right? Normally, someone would have a bunch of definition here, and then they might have an open solar plexus, and they would be overwhelmed a lot just with an open solar plexus. Because the open solar plexus is where we feel a lot of overwhelm. It's a big, big overwhelm center. But if you're you and all your centers are open, of course you're going to be overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So remember, you're free to be emotionally neutral and tell the truth. Empty, overwhelmed, conflict averse. That's the not self. Okay. Sacral motor. You have inconsistent energy at best. And you'll watch people around you, which is, by the way, 60% of the population is generators. 60% is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 60% of the people you're interacting with have all this energy. And they're like, come with us. We're going to lunch. Now we're going shopping. Now we're going over here. And you're like, I'm tired. That's because you have no sacral definition. You don't have a motor inside you that's like, brrr. That's what we have. We are supposed to have it. You're not. You don't have it. So never knowing when enough is enough is the not self of the open sacral. And then you're free to be energetically flexible. You're free to stop and be energetically flexible. Just like, I don't know, maybe I go with you guys. Okay, I'll go over here. I'll go over there, or I won't. It's kind of got the energy of similar to the certainty one. Everybody's going to want you to be more certain than you are, but you're not. And everybody's going to want you to have more energy than you have, but you don't. So you be flexy. You go when you feel like it and you don't when you don't. Open root. I can't keep up with everyone, but I have to keep up with everyone. I can't keep up. I got to keep up.
Plays into the last one big time for me.
Exactly. That's the not self. The freedom is I'm free to rest and do less. Lastly, open spleen. This is the splenic center over here. Out of fear, I'm holding on, and you're free to let go. They even teach it like you're free to be open to letting go.
Yeah.
Because letting go can be tough when you have open spleen.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is all so, yeah. It's like you picked me up and plopped me back on my track. Like, there you go.
Oh, man. That's the best.
Yeah.
I feel satisfied now as my little generator self. So, reminder, you're free to not think, be uncertain, you're free to be silent, you're free to be no one or anyone, you're free to give up, you're free to let go, you're free to rest and do less, you're free to be energetically flexible, and you're free to be emotionally neutral and tell the truth.
Free to be the wind.
Pretty much. Questions, thoughts, insights, or just wind?
Just wind. Yeah. It all just makes a lot of sense.
It's good.
It's, yeah, like, so much more affirming than I kind of want to cry a little bit. Like, I probably will a little bit. Just like, I've been wrestling with being everything but what I'm meant to be, to function, exist. Like, there are parts of me that know, and they are like steadfast, like, you know, in my calling. Like, I know, I knew that's what I was supposed to do. But in so many ways, I feel like I am putting on this like Ariel suit and doing what is expected of me or what society expects of me. And yeah, being a little bit more open and free flowing feels like the fact that that is what I'm supposed to do is such a huge sigh of relief for me. Like, it's so,
I'm sure it is.
It's so affirming. Life changing, really. Yeah.
God, I love that so much. That's.
And human design is like unfucking believable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shit.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. What a gift.
Well, we should thank, because she sensed this. She was.
Yeah.
She called me up and was like, "Oh my God, I met a reflector in the wild, and you've got to talk to her." And I was like, "Okay, you know, sure." And then Katie, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Take it from that thought.
Yeah, no, it's important that reflectors get to learn about what they are. And it's important that other people get to hear about what reflectors are. Because all of this, you guys, it's all the science of individuation. It's all honoring, all of us learning how to better honor the individual in front of us, whoever that may be. And we're not all supposed to be one fucking thing. And we couldn't if we tried, but we all try. And it's a lie. It's a lie, lie, lie. Well, I have to go, but this has been a delight.
Yes, it has. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
My God. I want to have a session with you. Do you live in California by any chance?
I am in Indiana.
Ah, damn it.
I'm just curious. Did you make it to the New Year's thing because you are friends with friends of...
I am partnered to...
Okay.
Been friends with for a long time.
Katie's typing very fast.
Yeah, I gotta go. I love you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Do your work. Take care.
Do all the work. Thank you so much, Rel.
Thank you so much.
Bye, y'all.
Nice to meet you all. Mwah.
Let's all do our work.
Love you all. Bye.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
I'm as exhausting to people as you are confusing to them.
Can confirm.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.